This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us. And our special guest on today's episode of 5x5 is Aaron Lewis. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So exciting to have you here.
Thanks.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I feel like a very minor celebrity with these.
Low key.
As you should.
G-list.
Low key celeb.
Low key.
Here we go.
My name is Aaron Lewis. I'm a Lancaster native. I've lived downtown for about 6 years. I am a Medicare fraud investigator.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
I feel like there should be dramatic music coming right there.
Oh, we should add a spotlight. Oh, well.
That would be
really And you've been at the Candy Factory as a member for how long? About a year?
Since March.
Since March?
Yep, this March.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Diggs, my friend, always my pleasure to see you.
And you.
We are recording today at the So Good Media Studio here at the Candy Factory. We talked about the Candy Factory. Do we make candy? We don't. It's a co-working and social club located in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can schedule a tour at coworkinginlancaster.com. Come and check it out. You can even get a tour of this nice media studio we just moved into.
Is this at the Candy Factory?
This is at the Candy Factory.
Who knew? I didn't.
In the heart of downtown Lancaster. Community membership start at $100 a month. Mm. That's unlimited access when the doors are open.
Unbeatable.
That's a lot.
Indeed.
Indeed. And we're open on Saturday mornings, if you didn't know that. 9 to 12 on Saturdays for those people who like to work on the weekends.
Yeah, who?
Or have to work on the weekends.
Oh.
Wow. Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me.
Sorry.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast. If you're new to the program, this is how it works. I have an iPad. His name is Frank, sitting right here. He's going to dish up five random topics. We're going to talk about each topic for 5 minutes. You're going to hear a little jingle, and we're going to move on to the next topic. That's it.
All right.
It's simple.
So simple.
Nobody knows where it's going to go until right now. Okay. Episode 52 of the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast. Our first topic for the day is personal hygiene.
Ooh.
An essential topic.
Personal hygiene. You're really an important.
Something you don't think about till it's not there.
Hey. Mm.
Oh.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Right? Something you take for granted.
You completely take it for granted, especially with other people.
Right.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's like a sound guy at a club. Nobody knows there's, you know what I mean? Nobody pays attention. Till you hear the feedback, then the whole place just goes. It's like, oh, hi, I'm the sound guy for tonight's show. Welcome. Just wanted to get your attention.
Yep.
If it's good, you don't know it's there. If it's bad, you're aware.
Uh-huh. Personal hygiene. One thing that fascinates me is the industry of personal hygiene. You ever go into a grocery store to like buy a tube of toothpaste? And you say, I'm going to just go get some, or a toothbrush. I'm going to go in and get some toothpaste. And you walk over and you say, well, let's see, Crest. Crest is a brand that I'm familiar with from my childhood. I'll buy some. And there's like 40 different versions of Crest.
Right.
And they all say, like, there's always the one that's like maximum strength.
That's the one I get.
Who wouldn't get that?
But yeah.
Who's like, you know what? I just want minimum strength for me.
Medium strength.
Yeah, medium strength
for
me.
I like a nice yellow sheen to my teeth.
Yes.
Can't be too white.
I'm looking for something that kind of sucks for my teeth.
Yep. Totally fair.
But it is absolutely it's just astounding how many different options. And
for sure.
Of course, that goes for a lot of product categories in your local grocery store. But particularly, I find this fascinating with dental care.
Well, so I didn't know for the longest time that Tom's did other things.
Like shoe Tom or the toothpaste Tom?
The toothpaste Tom.
Okay.
Because they also do like don't they do like yogurt and other things like beyond like toothpaste?
Oh.
Like I'm pretty like or at least they used to.
Edible things?
Yeah. Oh. And I remember seeing something edible by them and being like, wait a minute, that's supposed to like go in and you spit it out. Like
it's not supposed to stay in there.
Are you Tom's guy?
I grew up with Tom, so not anymore. Which one is the white tube with the, it might be, it's not Sensodyne, but it's the one that's like I know it when I see it. I can't think of the damn brand, but.
You don't look at it often, do you?
No. Because I know the box, so I just go get the box and I know where it is.
No, but I mean the tube you pick up every day.
Yeah. Oh, no, because my hand's covering it. So I'm squeezing it out. I'm not like, what is this again? That was just, it's the toothpaste that I've been using for years. And I just,
but you like Tom's? I think their products suck.
I did like Tom's as a kid.
Tom's no good. Okay.
No, because it,
talk to me about Tom's. I want to hear about your experience with Tom's. You have experience with Tom's, I can tell.
The deodorant is... I have a bone to pick, and I have picked it via Twitter.
I atted
Tom's, and I said, your deodorant sucks. And they said, we are so sorry. You can send it back for a full refund. And didn't expect anyone to respond to me. I was just really angry one night.
All right, I'm gonna go there. So, what was the trigger? Like, did you smell yourself?
I mean, so like, I used to bartend outside, and I would lift my arms up and be like, "Oh, this isn't working."
I gotcha.
And one night, I came home from a very busy, angry shift, and I got on my computer and I tweeted at Tom, and Tom responded.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I do feel bad for the person on the other end of that Twitter feed, right? who's like, because what are you doing? What are you doing, right? Like, where do you go from there?
Right.
Like, and they did the right. Just here, we'll give you your money back. Like, a lot of people think it's fine.
Did you go through it?
No. Yeah. I actually sent back an apology. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude.
Oh, didn't even double down. But honestly, like, I feel like, would they've also paid for the shipping?
Right.
Well, that's the thing.
It's too much work.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like go down to the UPS store. Like I'm going to take an hour out of my day to go find
a box.
They
probably knew that you wouldn't send. They're just like, hey, we'll just placate this.
They called my bluff.
Yeah, they totally.
That's my personality, though. Come on, angry, and then they're like, "I'm sorry." I'm like, "No, I'm sorry."
No,
it's me. It's not you.
Yeah.
What did you switch to?
You know, I'm always torn between wanting natural because I'm like afraid of, I don't know, aluminum in my armpits. That will kill me slowly. Mm-hmm. But I recognize that doesn't really work. So I always accept a level of smell that hopefully no one else can smell.
Right.
Right? But I don't know. Like today I walked past a man. And you know how you can just tell you need to hold your breath when you walk by someone because you get that whiff?
Yeah, you get the pre-whiff.
The post-whiff, really.
if you walk past the initial contact.
Yeah. And sometimes I hope, like, do people do that to me? Like, I fear that, but I don't think so.
We could just cut this part out so like you didn't out yourself at all. We'll just do, like, TiVo. Nothing happened.
Just one beep. One, like, 20-second beep. Yeah. The whole time.
I have great hygiene, don't worry.
Yeah. So you switched to something that you feel more comfortable with now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I took a little aluminum.
How about, are you brand loyal when it comes to personal hygiene?
No.
Meaning?
Yeah. Well, I am.
You are.
But Old Spice, everybody's like, oh, it's because of the I'm on a horse commercial. No, no, this was pre the horse commercial. It was like
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Look at me. Look at your man. Now look at me. Something about that.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Anyway.
But good looking black dude in a towel on a horse at the end of it. Blah 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 blah. So everybody was like, that's the reason why you did Old Spice. No. In, I think it was fourth grade or fifth grade, maybe, they prepared these little hygiene packets because we were starting to smell in gym.
Well,
Old Spice was the one that we had.
Unfortunately, I couldn't even segue out of that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear the sound.
Yeah. Could you jiggle that thing? Anyway, it's time to move on to topic number two.
I have to introduce Corey. You can't just talk to him.
Well, no, we'll introduce him later. We got to go.
Fair. Oh.
We got to move here.
We're down. 15 seconds.
Can't hear it.
Topic number two is prairie dress.
Prairie dress. It's just like old school. Like
sometimes you don't even know what the hell these topics mean. Somebody suggested this topic. I think it's a fashion style that is happening right now.
Oh.
Do you know about a prairie dress? It's fashion. No. Thing that is happening.
Oh
gosh. Is it like a vaguely colonial style swinging sundress? We'll go with that.
Is it coming back?
I don't know.
We have no idea where this is going to go.
It's okay. We can make it up. What would we think a fashion designer would say prairie dress is? Because I feel like
it's got to be a floral pattern. I'm thinking it's a prairie dress. Like when you think,
do prairies have a lot of flowers?
No, but I'm thinking of I'm thinking of like a lady in the 1800s, like on the prairie.
Dysentery chic. <I'm
sorry>. you're not trying to camouflage with the. My brain went instantly to camouflaging with the prairie. So like camo was like is like the whatever.
Things is like in the infantry out in the.
Out in
Montana or somewhere.
I don't do fashion.
Well, first of all, okay, let's get geographically set here. Where are the prairies? You know, because you take trains out there.
Flyover states.
Yes.
Yeah, but no, there's a lot of flyover states.
Are there?
Yeah. Okay. Are there prairies in Iowa?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I would think of. I would say like the Dakotas and
Dakotas,
like Wyoming, Montana.
Wyoming came into my head. Yeah, Wyoming.
Sure. Yeah. It's truly just like flat forever.
Mm. Okay.
So like, I literally just took the train with my mom to Seattle, and yes, it derailed shortly afterwards. We were not on it, but
that's a story.
But not to make light. Some people did pass away. A lot of people came out of the woodwork to ask me if we were okay. I was like, I'm texting you back.
Everybody who follows you on Instagram was like,
yeah, I didn't know about this.
Are you on that train?
Diggs, are you okay?
Right, yeah. But there's parts of that trip where it is truly the prairie. And it's just like beautiful scenery for as far as you can see of just sometimes nothing, just depending on the time of year. So like this time of year, it was kind of nothing because a lot of the natural whatever supposed to live there was already dying off. But it just fields and fields and fields of it if you're there at the right time of year. So for some reason, that's why my brain went to, well, I wonder what would prairie dress be in like the fall when the things are dying? Because I was stuck on the campus.
Did you see any dresses as you were training along the prairie?
Growing dresses?
He's like, no, I couldn't see them because they looked just like the prairie and they camouflaged right into them. I couldn't see anybody. There were actually hundreds of people in the prairie.
Right. Yeah, I just couldn't see anyone. There were clotheslines. I'm trying to remember. There was a lot of blue. A lot of blue, like muted colors on clotheslines. But like the faded blue. I don't know. Like, is that periwinkle?
Periwinkle is a faded blue type.
So, yeah. Were there just clotheslines just out and about in the wild? Like, do they belong to people?
Well, I assume somebody put the clothes up at some point, but it would be like there'd be like a house and then like maybe 5 seconds later the clothesline, but 5 seconds on a train moving at speed is like
right
probably, you know, 300-400 yeah, maybe 500 feet,
right?
So
right,
it's like you just have all of this space that you're just like, the house is here, we're just gonna put the clothes way over there. we'll get them later, you know, hope the cows don't eat it or something. Yeah,
have you been to the prairies?
Never.
So you're just like, when you said flyover, you literally, you're just like, yeah, I'm flying over.
The closest thing I've ever done to like a prairie scenario is when I was in like fourth grade, my parents were really into putting me into like colonial settler clothing and shipping me off to a one-room schoolhouse for the day.
Is this a thing? Are you being serious?
Yeah, it's a thing.
So they would put you in like colonial clothing.
With the bonnets and the petticoats. And I think this is what I think of as prairie dress. And okay, then I had to like churn butter.
Was this colonial Williamsburg? Was this here?
It was here in Lancaster. It was just this one day thing. And basically it was like, be grateful for what you have. You could push a hoop with a stick.
How old were you when this was going on?
Like, 11.
Okay. So you were definitely, it wasn't like kindergarten where you just kind of go, yeah, dad, I'd love to. You know what I mean?
Oh, so prairie dress is like frontier dress.
That's what I think of. I don't know. Little House on the Prairie.
But for the record, I feel like that there is a movement out there because the person, whoever suggested this to me in passing, and I was like, yeah, I'll put that on the list, seemed to be confident that this was a current thing.
That's what the show notes are for.
So right now there's a lot of people who are, a lot of people don't watch this, but if there were a lot of people watching this, they would be like,
this isn't prairie dress.
Yeah, they'd be like, you guys don't know anything about prairie dresses. It's true. It's probably like some fashion thing, you know what I mean? People are wearing to clubs, to raves, you know what I mean? And we're like talking about churning butter, you know what I mean?
Maybe. This is what you meant, right?
Maybe that's what happens at these raves, at the special prairie dress raves.
We're bringing them back.
Yeah.
We're bringing back
rave on it's the
colonial
prairie.
The colonial raves.
It's cosplay. That's all.
It's exactly
true.
What it is.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
There we go.
Well, I'm a cosplayer.
Well, unfortunately, the prairie dresses have to be hung out to dry on the clothesline. Mm. It's time to move on to topic number three. Today's 5x5, which is...
Uh-oh.
Disco.
Ah!
Ooh.
Take it away.
So, disco in a... No. I mean, we were just talking about colonial raves.
I had to make the age joke.
Which is a straight line from the raves that were happening in colonial times.
Right.
You can draw a straight line all the way up to 1978 and the disco movement.
Travolta and the rest
of it. What do you think about disco?
I think that we should let you tell us about it.
You don't know anything about disco?
Not, I know.
Aaron, are you a fan of disco? Dun, dun, dun,
moderately. Dun, dun, when dun, done dun, well, dun. Sure.
All right, well, okay.
Well, how can you dislike
what's,
it?
What's bad disco? Oh, no, I don't dislike it. I just don't, I know.
What do you think of when I say the word disco?
Travolta.
Travolta.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I would say that, you know, top five answers on the board.
Oh, this is Family Feud.
That's right.
Okay.
Top five answers on the board.
Now I'm saying Steve Harvey, just like, what?
Do we have Travolta?
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry. You asked.
Okay. Yeah. So how about you? What do you think of when I say disco?
I think of Michael Jackson Off the Wall, which okay. I would consider like a disco-ish album, which is one of my favorite albums ever.
Look, sure. Yes, absolutely.
Right. My parents used to go out and dance, and I think that's adorable. I'm all for it. You know, I think there's a lot of like.
Did they dance to disco music?
Or
Okay.
It was disco music. Were in it. They were in it. Hmm. I think it is something that was killed slowly. Like, didn't Kiss make a disco album or something?
Yeah. So what happened was in the.
Wait,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. So relax over there.
I'm sorry.
So what happened was around, I don't know, 1975 or so, Donna Summer really. I see Donna Summer as sort of like the beginning, right, of this thing. And she and some producers were making this dance music, right? And I don't want to get into the like I'm sure that there's people who would argue that I'm a little late or whatever. That
for
goes
our
back
purposes, right. This is good.
It right. works.
And this movement just became very, very popular in New York City, right? Mm. And it was the gay community embraced it. You know, there was this whole movement, right, into these dance clubs that were being created. Studio 54 sort of put it,
right.
Made it a global phenomenon.
Mm.
And disco was really hot for like 2 weeks, but it was so hot, right? And it was such the antithesis of rock music, arena rock
right.
music that was also very popular at the time, like Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and these bands that were like doing these huge shows.
Mm-hmm.
That it like sort of threatened to take that over, like rock stations were switching to disco, and it caused this big rift, but. All these musicians, as you pointed out, all these musicians tried to jump on that bandwagon.
Right.
And so there's this really terrible, in my opinion, period of time in like rock history
right.
where all of these bands just
tried
their hand at disco.
Really tried, yeah.
How could Kiss, I didn't even understand, like, could the concept just...
no one understood.
It's okay. absolutely absurd. It's okay. ridiculous.
Right.
I have to find a clip and
I will. I
or
will.
Don't.
I will. Now, well, it's a good point. It's very hard because you can't bury. You can't just. Right. Everybody just needs therapy about the whole thing. You know. You just. You need to work.
It happened. We should acknowledge it.
That's right. That's right. It happened, and it's time to move on, and we all have to just kind of work through it.
So, what killed disco? What came out next?
New wave.
Oh, okay.
New wave sort of rose to the top. Disco, like disco sort of ate itself, right?
Mm.
So new wave would have been like the Knack, Skinny Ties, the Cars. It was very short lived as well.
But, right. So this isn't like Duran Duran.
Well, Duran Duran was sort of a global wave of what would have been then considered new wave.
Okay.
But new wave was even a little bit more like robotic.
It's like robotic, and then it moved into the synth.
Yeah,
world.
Synth pop, Devo-y kind of stuff, the Eurythmics, right?
Okay.
Would have been
that makes
super
sense.
Mainstream. And punk rose really quickly right around that same time. It seems like, you know, now that I'm talking about it this way, it seems like that popular music in between like 1975 and 1985 it was all infighting. It were like genres, right. like genres were just trying to kill each other.
Right.
Because there were actually like, it's a big famous thing that is so famous, I don't really remember any of the details. but I think it was in Cleveland, I want to say. I'm going to look this up and I'm going to embed a YouTube video on the show notes. But there was like a Disco Sucks, a radio station put on an event.
This sounds familiar.
A Disco Sucks event where... Everybody brought disco albums in like a baseball stadium in this city, and like one of these rock cities, blue collar rock cities. It was like Cleveland or Detroit or Pittsburgh or one of these cities, and they burned disco albums.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like
that is aggressive.
Serious.
What did disco do to anybody?
It was too popular.
It was way too popular.
I feel like it would have been different audiences? That's what I'm not understanding. Or maybe it wasn't different.
Well, no, because we didn't have things like the internet and Spotify where you could just pick your own thing, right? So if the rock radio stations. It's right. And if the FM, you know, in a relatively small city like a Pittsburgh, which is like a, I think it might be a 25, top 25 market, maybe not. It might be top 50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got like three big FM stations.
Okay, I see.
Right. And if you're rocks, if you're listening to Boston and Kansas the next day, it's, you know, the Bee Gees and the Village People.
I'm okay with that.
That's tough.
Yeah, I might be okay with that too.
Well, I'm sorry, but the record has run out on topic number three.
Oh, we're skipping?
We just, it's at the end going, time to move on to topic number four. This episode's 5x5. Favorite game shows. We are foreshadowing the shit out of these topics.
This is just, this is quite the day.
Favorite game shows.
Family Feud isn't actually my favorite game show, but it is up there in terms of the when they started putting Harvey's, like when he goes in on contestants that have bad answers.
Yeah,
those clips are hilarious. Like I think my favorite one, I think she might have sued Harvey over this. But this one woman who just couldn't stop saying it was, she was trying to say mama, like mama in a different inflection to make it, mama was already on the board or whatever it was, mommy, it was some version of mom,
right,
and she was trying to say that same thing just in a different inflection, and
like mama, or
yeah, I'm pretty sure it was mama or something. So like he literally was like, so we're gonna try this again. What, didn't read the question, and she would just go mama. And then she got mad that they put this on YouTube, that she just kept screwing this up.
Oh,
but
oh, I see. It wasn't in the show.
No. It's like, well, some of them are, but most of them are like the extended clips of him like losing his shit.
Yeah. I gotcha.
But actual favorite game show is actually a British one. I know. Yeah, don't. It's an Anglophile.
Same.
Called, oh, good. It's 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, which is a mashup game show of a comedian centric panel show, they call it in the UK, plus a Jeopardy type cerebral game show. So they just have the comedians playing the cerebral game show, and it's fucking hilarious.
Ooh.
You know what's weird?
I think we talked about this.
We totally talked about this in episode 51 of 5x5, because the topic was, I think, game show network or just game show.
Oh.
All right. For the record,
we're having deja vu.
Yeah, let me tell you how this works. I'm going to do a little side note here.
Okay.
Let me tell you how this works. We submit topics. Well, people, our friends and us, we submit topics to a database, and the database makes sure that the topics are unique, so we don't run into this problem. And the randomness of a topic, right? You would think, I mean, we've done 50 episodes of this show, right? Times five. I can't do the math, but you can figure it out. Anyway.
Can I?
So the difference was that it was, I think it was game show. Or game shows and favorite game shows. So our duplication.
Sorry, and I forgot I even talked about this. What's your favorite game show?
Yeah, so you're the only variable here.
Right.
So
I don't know if it is a game show, but I always liked Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, okay.
I would kind of consider that a game show.
That counts.
Or the closest thing I've ever watched.
The points don't matter. Right. But it still counts.
Exactly. The points don't matter. Everything's made up and the points don't matter. That's their slogan. Have you ever watched it?
I've never seen it.
Drew Carey is the original host, and then it's all of these comedians, Wayne Brady.
Is it improv? Is it?
Yeah, it's improv. Yeah.
I remember that. I mean, I remember it peripherally being in my orbit.
Yeah. It was on ABC Family at like 10 p.m., you know, and all the kids went to bed and I could watch, and it was amazing. They had really good guests on there, like Robin Williams was on there once.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is top level stuff.
Yeah.
But no Price is Right, no Wheel of Fortune, no Jeopardy.
No.
Hollywood Squares.
I feel like the people who are young, and I always talk about how old I am because I'm old. and generationally, I feel like the people who are like millennial and younger really missed out on the whole when I'm sick, I want. Oh. There are certain things that everybody who's Gen X.
That's true.
Gen X, like I could sit somebody down who's like, you know, between 45 and 50 and just be like, when you were sick.
Yeah.
You watched The Jeffersons in syndication. You watched, you know, The Price is Right. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like everything but the soap operas, because nobody ever watched the soap operas, you know what I mean? Except grandma. But Right. So you went to the other room, mm-hmm. or the bedroom, and right. where the TV was in the spare, and you went in there and you watched these all these shows were on, and game shows were on all more. I mean, the That's Card true. Sharks, The Price is Right, like all these goofy games that didn't, you know what I mean? Like they're gone or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's all that it was on these syndicated. And I feel like that's a loss. It's probably good.
Yeah.
Hot take. I think there's a level of depressiveness on game shows that like runs underneath. And I think that's why I've never been attracted to it. The level of like desperation and what people will do for money for our amusement is depressing to me.
But see, that's why I like the more cerebral ones. So like, I'm not going to do like The Chase, where just like people, I think you have to answer questions to, or you wager money, I think,
yeah.
in order to like get more money in the end by answering these questions, or like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, watching people sweat, like oh. that, I'm with you there.
There is, it's like the lottery.
Yeah.
There's a feeling about that, the whole like the culture around like the, you know, the lottery, the Powerball yeah. and all that stuff, mm-hmm. when people are just sort of like, you know, like putting all like everything into this thing,
yeah.
into
yeah.
like into gambling, right? It's sort of like that with game shows. Like I'm gonna study it and really, you know, learn the tricks and the techniques, and then try desperately to get out to LA and be on this game show, and then you
the
get on there.
Pressure is too much.
And there's like this car, you know, used car salesman. At least the old school guys. The old school guys were really shyster. The hosts of these things.
No, don't put Bob Barker in there. Don't do that to Bob. Barker.
I just like the hoodie. It'd always be like, remember to. Your animals.
Yeah. Well,
what a random thing.
Unfortunately, we have to go to commercial break on this topic of 5x5 and go to topic number 5, the last topic of today's 5x5, which is live theater as opposed to dead theater.
You mean theater?
Yes, theater.
Theater. Yes.
Theater.
How's it spelled?
It's, well, it's ER.
Oh.
Talk to me about that. What the hell's the difference between RE and ER? Is it like shops? Shoppes.
Shoppies.
Yeah, it's just fancy.
Yeah,
it's just fancy.
The shops is Grandview.
The shoppies.
I think we in the States adopted the RE as like it like truly is just like Prince Street, like Prince Street Theater, or like it, I in the old way. I'm not
meaning
saying
the Fulton.
What did I say?
Prince Street.
Prince Street. I was like, what?
I was like, Prince Street Cafe spelled RE.
Sorry, no. Sorry. Yes,
Fulton. Cafe.
Sorry. Yes. I've never been to the place.
You've never been to the Fulton?
No, and I know I did. I just, okay.
All right.
I'm con most live theater.
Lighter.
I can't. I unless I'm like going to a production where I know the people and like I have a reason
like your
to
friends.
Care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I don't go out of my way. Yeah. So hence, Fulton becomes Prince Street.
it's a very nice regional theater we have.
It
here
is.
In Lancaster,
it's a beautiful building. I just
yeah. Aaron, where are you at with live theater? Live.
You know, show. I want to like it, and I have about a 10-minute tolerance for it.
Oh.
And I'm like, got it. I get it.
Like all of it.
Some is better than others. Musicals, you really better wow me with the dance, or I'm like, can you just say it? Stop singing it.
A freaking men.
I've seen. I went to the Globe and I saw King Lear there and I remember nothing. I was so bored. and I appreciate it for what it is, but it's not for me.
Okay.
That's true.
I like theater.
Hmm.
But I like plays that where people speak.
Okay.
I don't like anyone singing anything to me.
Right.
Which is funny because I'm a musician, right? And I've been a musician my whole life, and people always, since I was a kid, like, oh, it's a musical. You'll like it. And I've never liked them.
No.
Like, I've just never, it's just never clicked.
Right.
I don't disrespect the talent.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Right.
What some of the, like, we watched the recording of Hamilton.
Mm.
Like, we did a neighborhood thing during COVID and put it out on the, you know, like an outdoor showing of it. Unbelievable.
Agreed.
Right. Unbelievable.
Oh, it's pure talent for sure.
But the theater that I like is edgy and is, like, really thought-provoking. And people are talking, not singing.
So you're like a Waiting for Godot type person.
I don't know anything about it. It's I'm sort of like a, I'm almost like I don't know. It's almost like a pretension. You know what I mean? Like I don't know anything about like most plays. You know, I've only seen I haven't seen very many plays. Like I don't go to theater much.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was in a city and someone said let's see if we can find something going on, I would look for the play that is like dark.
Right.
And kind of like, and kind of, you know, edgy.
Not happy.
Not happy.
Have you heard of Spring Awakening?
Yes, I saw Spring Awakening.
I did too.
That's a great example of a play that I liked a lot.
Yes, I agree. And that is a musical, but the music is not too like Broadway.
That's right. But it's so dark.
It's so dark.
A friend of mine was in it. So yeah. I will say that was at EPAC. Did you see it at EPAC?
No, I saw it on Broadway.
Oh. Well,
maybe she had a friend on Broadway.
I did.
Wow. Good for you. Okay. I had a friend in Ephrata. Okay. That's the way I roll. Anyway.
Wait. So talk me through Spring Awakening. I thought about Secret Garden.
Spring Awakening is about teenagers having like their sexual awakening in Germany in late 1800s, but the music is very modern and very like rock and roll.
Mm.
There is a lot of sex, which I didn't realize as I was sitting beside my parents wanting to die.
Be awkward.
It was awkward. And there's a lot, like suicide, and it's very dark, but it's amazing.
So if you took the content and the vibe of that play and took out the music and made it just dialogue, then it's a home run.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I'd be like, yeah, I'm into that.
Mm.
But maybe it's more happy than music. Maybe I just discovered something about myself. It's not really musicals. It's just that 99% of musicals have this upbeatness and this show tune kind of.
Is it always music? Like, so live theater being one thing, but then like musicals on tape. Like, I love the sound of music. I think we've talked about this. Like, there aren't very many musicals I like, but I'll sit down and rewatch the sound of music every, like, well, not often, but would I go see it live?
There is a difference there.
I don't think I would. Yeah.
I don't know, but you know, maybe it's just, it's sort of like correlation, meaning that because the musical, the vibe of musicals is always, is typically the show tune-y, right?
Right, right.
Right, that I don't like it because of that more so than the vibe. That if like Trent Reznor was doing musicals, you know what I mean? And if it was like all just like, right? If it was just all just like doom and anger.
I'm now imagining
doom and anger.
The soundtrack from the newest version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo that he did in musical form.
Ooh.
Could you imagine Girl with the Dragon Tattoo as a musical? Holy shit.
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
I would watch it.
See? Well, unfortunately, the curtain has come down on this episode.
Do we take a bow?
Is there a curtain call for this one? Can we do a curtain call? Aaron, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program.
It's been so fun.
Isn't that the fastest 25 minutes of podcast?
This is the first time I've ever like talked into a microphone.
Well, we'll have to have you back.
Kind of.
Nah.
I'm very excited. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure. We will have you back. How about that?
Okay, I would love that.
We'll make you a deal.
Thank you.
We will have you back in exchange. All you have to do is come. When we ask you to come over.
I can do that.
You come over and we're square.
I can do that.
Fair enough.
Perfect.
Diggs, my friend, always a pleasure to spend some time with you.
And you.
Talking about five random topics. And for everybody out there who's checked us out on any of the platforms, I don't even know where this goes.
No, I don't either. Yeah,
like, I'm past knowing.
Yeah.
It's YouTube.
Spot-a-face.
Look, let me just tell you, thank you very much for checking us out. Wherever the hell it was, whatever, TweetTube.
Yeah.
And we, well, at least you and I, will catch you next time on 5 by 5.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is produced at So Good Media Studio at The Candy Factory,
a co-working and social club located in downtown Lancaster, PA.
The show is hosted by Jason Mundock and Robert Diggs, with music by John Chin.
Yeah. He's a really cool guy.
Follow us on the socials at So Good Lancaster.
Find 5x5 and all of our shows at SoGoodLancaster.com.
So Good
Lancaster!